Today's Perek B'Tanach is Melachim Aleph, Perek Yutet. So we just finished the remarkable end of a Perek in which what began as an unbelievable face-off, in which there would be no compromise, ended with Eliyahu actually running to give Kavod L'Malchut in front of Achav, which seems to be a complete and total revolution in the thinking of both of them. Vayaged, and today Achav comes home, and he meets Yizevel, of course. Vayaged Achav li'Yizevel et kol asher asay Eliyahu ve'et kol asher harag et kol hanaviyim b'chora. He tells her over the whole story of all of the events, the nisim that took place, how it is that the that responded were responding to him, and he went ahead and he killed all the Nevi'im. And she didn't exactly approve of all of this, as you can imagine. Fatishlach Yizevel malach el Eliyahu leimor. And so Yizevel sends a messenger to Eliyahu to let him know, Ku yasun Elohim veku yosifon. I swear to God. Ki ke'et machar. By this time tomorrow, you will be no different than the ones that you murdered. So, what is the point? What do you mean tomorrow? I mean, if you can do it, you know. Don't threaten. What is she telling you? In fact, Chazal actually point out that this is remarkable, because when Shaul wanted to kill David, he sent people there, surrounded the house, make sure that David's on. Certainly didn't send them a notice, by tomorrow at this time, you're dead. So that means that the Yan Hamundchem and Agoyim Asher Svivotechem were Ridarshan, that Kitovim Shebet Goyim you didn't do, but Keraim Shebem you did. So the Medrash says, not even Keraim Shebem. Here is Yizevel, the worst of the worst, pure Zevel. But when she wants to destroy somebody, she at least lets him know so he gets a chance to run away. So, I mean, what indeed is really going on? Why does she let him know? Because the point over here was that what she was giving him, a remarkable message. My father, Zatzal, always used to point this out. You know, you think you did a really grand stand, and what do you think it's good for? How much time is it good? You realize that tomorrow, by this time, I can have you knocked up. With all of this incredible stuff that you did, within 24 hours, it will mean absolutely nothing. That's the value of what you did. That's the main message. Now the question is, I'll kill you, I won't kill you, go on away, I'm outside. But I don't understand what you think you just achieved. That's the point. And having said that, he realized she's 100% correct. He didn't achieve a darn thing. And he realizes that for all intents and purposes, he's dead. And this is the meaning of the vayar. What do you mean, vayar? And he saw. And he saw what? Whenever we use that Lashon vayar, it means he came to the awareness of the situation. And he saw, by God, she's right. Vayokom. And he gets up. Vayelech al nafsho. He goes to escape. Vayavo. Well, there's really two levels of meaning, al nafsho. One is run for your life, and the other one is the hell with it all. I'm only interested in withdrawn, completely withdrawn. This stuff was just a waste of time, and I'm not interested anymore. I'm just not going to get involved. Vayavo be'er sheva. And he comes to Be'er Sheva, Shel Yehuda. Vayanach et Naro Sham, he leaves his servant boy there because he's finished with life. And so he doesn't want to take along the kid to watch him die. Vualach ba midbar derech yom, he goes into the desert. Vayavo vayeshev tachat rotem echad. He comes and sits down under a broom tree. Vayishal et nafsho lamut, and he wants to die. Vayomer Rav Atadunai, I've had enough. Kach nafshi. Giloto vanochi miavotai. I'm no different than anybody else. Last I noticed, everyone else managed to get out of this not alive. And of course, he specifically says, as the Medrash says, Loto vanochi miavotai, because he wasn't going to die, which is a disaster. So he's saying, I shouldn't be given life like this. I'm not better than all the other people that died. Right? Now, no, but it's part of his sense of what's happening. Remember, we've already seen that he doesn't look at life the way normal people look at life anymore. He's sort of a man that's beyond time. What's interesting is that Yonah says the same thing. He also wants to die, right? So when he doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't say Lo tov anochi miavotai. He just says Tov moti mechayai. My death is better than my life. Medrash points out a remarkable thing. Yonah is the son of the woman that Eliyahu was staying with. Now, whether that means anything or not, but certainly he's called Yonah ben Amitai, and the only one who was called Emet Beficha is Eliyahu. And this was certainly the boy that he had brought back to life. So that boy had already died. So he says, it's a heck of a lot better than what I got now. I can tell you that. I'd rather be there. But he, Elio, who would never die, could only insist that he should be the same as his forefathers, who did. Beautiful Diak. But meanwhile, of course, it's bringing out, if you recall back all the way at the beginning, we spoke about the relationship of Elio to the Orvim that came from the time of the Mabul, because he was being Achzari. The same way that an Orev is an Achzari al-Banav, and the Noach was being Achzari, and indeed the Medrash says back by Noach that the reason that he sent out the Orev was as a hatachad varim neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are so cruel to the world. The only people that could, the only life form that could report back on this world is an Orev, with the cruelty of an Orev. In the end, he was forced to send out a Yonah. When Elio now comes to insist that I can't take it anymore, we're going to have a Ra'av and so on and so forth, which, by the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him back at the time that he asked him, go be Menachem Aval to this guy who rebuilt Yericho, to Chiyo Beit HaElim. So the Medrash says, nah, I'm not going. That's the word. I'm not going. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean you're not going? Why don't you want to go? He says, it's amazing. Because I know I'm going to hear things there that I can't stand. I'm not going to be able to tolerate it. I can't live in a place like that. So it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll tell you what, if you can't stand it, then I'm going to back any response that you have. So then you can go in there and you're going to feel empowered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered him. Which is the interesting, was it Al-Pi Hashem? It wasn't my words. Is he saying yes and no? It's up to you to be Mizbah. So he apparently is having a very rough time with society, Elio. This little attempt of getting into things and having some impact on the nature of the development of society, he thought himself to have done very well until he gets this message, Vayar, and he realizes, what an idiotic thing. What was the point of all of this? What did I do? I'll never be able to do anything. And so when he's Olech El Nafsho, I'm turning inward. And he goes out to the Midbar, and he realizes there's no point for him to be in the world. He has no connection with anything, no interest in doing anything. All he sits around is seeing the ugliness that is driving him completely bananas, that we see from the Lo Yochal HaMizbah. That's his lashon. I can't take it. I just can't take it. But this, after I do this, I now have to run away in order to save my life. This is insane. And I just don't want part of it. And so he asks to die. Vayishkav, exactly as Yonah did. Both of them, by the way, same reason. Yonah did not want the Giloy of Midas HaRachamim. He said, I don't want you. I know it's going to happen. I know. All the time, somebody's going to say, I'm sorry. And you'll say, oh, good boy. And everything's going to be okay. And I'm not interested in that. And then came the whole story, of course, that he goes to sleep under a tree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him his kikayon. In this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him his rotem. Of course, what's interesting about the rotem is that the sign of hell is the rotem. As the Gemara says, gichalei retamim. To be ma'achir reshaim gechalei retamim, specifically, the rotem is because what's unique about the broom is that it just burns and burns and burns, and even the Gemara brings a maysa where somebody thought that the fire had gone out. He'd made a barbecue during Pesach with the rotem, thought the barbecue was out, came back for Sukkot, and was going to throw it into the garbage when he realized inside it's still hot, it's still burning. So that's the rotem, which is another sign to him. First the orev, and then the drying out of the stream, and now a rotem, and now he's miserable. So he's so depressed, Vayishkav, he just lies down, and he falls asleep. Vayishan. Tachad rotem echad. So there he is, under this rotem. V'nei ze malach nogea bo, v'yom lo kum echol. And he sees this angel touching him, saying to him, get up and eat. Get up! The heck, get up and eat. No, that's the way you need to read it, as we'll see. It's with that tone. Vayabet, he looks. Vinei mirashotav ugat ritzafim. He sees by his head is one of these types of breads that are made on the charcoals. So it's one of those burnt breads. What is ritzafim? Says the Medrash. Ritzafim comes from the word, crush your mouth. Ratzot piv. All you have to say is rotten things about my children. If you don't have anything to say, just shut up. So, man da'amar dal torin al banai, and this is This is the response, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu got when he started arguing about whether they're going to be Maimin or they Roya Lagula. It's all about, I'm not interested in hearing. It's not your job. Your job is to tell me good things, not to tell me bad things. I'm getting tired of this. So this whole, I'm sick and tired of it, that's exactly what I heard from Yonah. You know what I told Yonah? Are you good and sick and tired? Well, I'm telling you to get up. Get up and eat. Okay, so he gets up and he eats and he drinks. And he goes back to sleep again. This is not getting him. I can't take it. I can't take it. I'm going back to sleep. Vayoshav malach adonai shenit. And malach comes back again. Vayigabo. And he touches him and wakes him up. Vayomer kum echol. Get up and eat. Kirav mimcha adar. You got a long way to go, honey. There's no sleep for the weary. Vayokom. And so he gets up. Vayochav yishte. Vayelech bekoach ha'achila hi arba'im yom. Ve'arba'im laila ad har ha'elohim horeb. And so, of course, 40 days, 40 nights, I mean, we know exactly where we're going. So the first remez of 40 days, 40 nights, says the Medrash. You may remember the Meraglim. They were pretty good in Lashon Hara, too. You have anything else to say? The other remez of the 40 days and 40 nights is the 40 days and 40 nights. You may remember the Mabul. Yes, perhaps that's where you're at. The old Yonah and the Orev trick, huh? 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe we should have another one of those. I can see where we're headed, Elio. But of course, the most blatant of the 40 days and 40 nights is, as we remember, the psik that it went through every way that Elio and Moshe were exactly the same thing. Whatever happened to one happened to the other, and each one was off. We went through that whole psikta. The psikta keeps talking, so that the Moshe Barach, we didn't talk about that before because we hadn't gotten there. Moshe had to run away from Paro. Elio had to run away from Izevah. Moshe is called the Ish Elohim. Elio is called the Ish Elohim. Moshe is the Goel from Mitzrayim. And Elio is the one who comes now to be the Goel Ba'acharit HaYamim. Ad bo yom Hashem HaGadol Va'Nora. And that's the Elio Anavi. Yisholechem Elio Anavi. It's astounding that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlach na b'yad tishlach, he was referring to the pasuk, Hineni sholeach lachem et Elio Anavi. So send now the one that you're going to be sholeach. I'm not part of this. He should be the one to do this. So this puts now Elio into a completely different spotlight in history. Many things that were being brought to a head here, in which Elio and Moshe are being placed side by side. And indeed, as Chazal tell us, Benavi He'ala Hashem et Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Benavi Nishmar. The He'ala Yisrael mi Mitzrayim refers to Moshe, Benavi Nishmar refers to Elio. And now the last thing we learned is that he sits down under this rotem and he sees this vision of Ugat Ritzafim. Now Ugat Ritzafim is very, very suggestive, because Lamaisa, we find there was another Navi who spoke poorly of Yisrael. And this was Yeshayahu, when he's told to be a Navi, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, B'toch am t'mei svataim anuch yoshev, I sit here amongst the people that have filthy mouths. And so the immediate thing happens is, Vayoaf aylai echad min esrafim, uviyado ritzpah. So he touches the ritzpah. He has a ritzpah, means the actual coal. It's burning still. This is ugat ritzafim, to burn the mouth of Yeshayahu, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. If you're going to speak dal torin al banai, then you can have your mouth burned out. So that remez was here too. That there were, and Chazal point out that there were a number of Nevi'im that spoke in this way, including there were those who attacked, like Yonah, we spoke about yesterday. There were those who spoke about good and bad. So he speaks about himself as well. And this is Yeshayahu who's punished. And here comes Elio to be Tovea HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to say anything good about his children. And we'll see that he too is punished here. So he goes now for 40 days and he comes Ad Har HaElohim Chorev. And it's interesting that the same language is found by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says Moshe Yaro'ed Zon Yitro. And then he comes Aveyavol Har HaElohim Chorev. He obviously knows somehow that it's, he's got this vision, he's got this, he sees the burning bush, and Chazal learn out from here that it works in both directions. If we see here that Elio arrived at HaChorev in his miraculous fashion, it means the same thing happened to Moshe. that the tzon of Moshe led him on 40 days without his even realizing what was happening. They hadn't eaten anything. And what happened is that he had been holy b'koach ha'tilah zu arboim yom v'arboim laila. And he finds himself at Chorev, and he recognizes that this is Chorev. He sees it as Har Elohim. So whether Elio had initially intended to go to Har Chorev, and that's why he went to Beersheba, out into the Midbar, maybe he was heading in that direction, or maybe he just wanted to go out to the Midbar to die, as we saw in the first part of his words. But clearly, he was being set up to find himself back in the same Mokam that Har HaKarmel wanted to be, which is where it all took place, in which the Na'aseh V'Nishma'at is given here as Vashemu Elokim, Hashemu Elokim, and to force him to face up to the implications of Moshe in terms of his own life. And remember that we saw that all along this period has been marked by Pesel Micha, Moshe Rabbeinu's creation, the idea of tolerance for intolerable situations. If you're going to cross the Yam, it'll be together with Avodah Zarah. Micha Mocha Ba'elim Hashem automatically sets up Micha as Mocha. In other words, there's a recognition that human beings are going to be involved in needs that end up becoming Avodah Zarah. Not that they have to take it seriously, but at least they'll build beautiful shuls, like the Kuzari says, right? And those beautiful shuls are essential, the expression of Avodah Zarah. It means that they believe that you can make something pretty, like a bunch of silly trinkets, and now like the Indians will sell Manhattan because you got a couple of cute pictures on the wall. So here, this is the great shul in which the Shekhinah will be Shaira. So he makes fun of this whole idea as the equivalent of the Maisaego. He says, why, if I told you they did that, you wouldn't think they were so terrible. But that's exactly what they did. He's even just as dumb. But why don't you think it's terrible? Because we're used to that. Because that's what we have to build shuls because we need a place to make a minyan, you know. But in essence, it's the same idea. One is us or one is mutter, but you know. So here is exactly what happens to Elio. Remarkably, he himself finds from the beginning in which he wants to attempt to bring everybody to his way of thinking, and he thinks that he's been able to do it, and that it was all just atah hasevot libam achoranit. Give them the right opportunity, and they'll be right back, and they'll do tshuva. And here, all of a sudden, Ezevel puts him in his place and says, this doesn't bring teshuva. So now you see that it's all a question of emotional highs. You see it yourself. But what do you want to do now? If it's not going to be Pesel Micha, if it's not going to be Yeravan's approach of the Agrolis, if it's not going to be my husband's approach of Achav, a little bit of tolerance for a secular Malucha, and ultimately people learn over thousands of years, they become sophisticated enough. As the Rambam points out in the Mar Nevuchim, there is no way to hurry up that process. If there were ways to hurry up processes, then we wouldn't need childhood. Beautiful mashal. You know, you might as well cut out mother's milk. What do you mother's milk for? Just flip into adulthood. You know, this is like Newt Gingrich. Let's cut out adolescence, legally. This is what he's... Well, it's a good point. There never used to be adolescence. You arrived at the age in which you're an adult, and you're expected to act as an adult. There are special rules that allow you to be a child for the next 20 years anyway. Not a bad idea. But anyway, the nature of the game, Elio, is what she's telling him, is that there's no way that you're going to turn the nation into a bunch of intellectuals who are capable of understanding what it means, Yichud Hashem, to give up on any type of emotional, what are you supposed to do, give up on Karlbach? I mean, come on. You know, so you got to allow them to live with things that have no reality, but that make them feel good while they're involved in it. This turns out to be now the situation in which Elianovi says, I can't live like this. I just can't go on. I just want to die. Because now he sees that that's the only option. If that's the only option, then there's no place for me in this story. Therefore, he's being brought back to Har Sinai, where the very issue at Har Sinai itself was dealing with this problem. Because that's where the Egel appeared. That's where the Tainas of Yeravam appeared. But it's Kafaleim Har Chigigit. There's no way to rush this. That's exactly where Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand what you're getting so upset about. This is Kinar Yisrael. If you wanted everything to be done in an instant, then it was doomed from the beginning. So what is the whole problem over here? And this is a continuation of Moshe's entire incredible approach that stretches all the way from his lifetime through Purim, in which he recognizes that there needs to be a greater sophistication in which Klal Yisrael will be able to be Mekabel Torah. Here we're very far from Purim. And even at Purim, it was not the entire nation was ready to go along with these types of ideas. They were very complicated, and we'll see that Mordechai actually uses what happens here as his template for what needs to be done for the future, even in terms of Purim. But Eliyahu does not agree. In other words, he refuses to accede to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demands one after the other. No, we're not going to let you die here. Get up, you idiot. Get up. You got a lot of walking. Don't stop falling asleep. There's no escaping this. Just get up. So he walks now, as we said, Arba'im Yom V'Arba'im Laila, and comes to exactly the same place where Moshe Rabbeinu was the first time that he spoke Lashon Hara about Bnei Yisrael, Ve'im Lo Ya'aminu Vi, in which he was told to do his little tricks, in which he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Rambam says, what is the point of tricks? Tricks are for kids. But what's the reality? I mean, why should I play these games? Here he's put in exactly the same situation. It's an unbelievable picture here. Not only that, Vayavosham el ha-me'ara. What do you mean ha-me'ara? What is the cave with the capital V? Well, there's only one place where we know, the Nikra Tatsur, where Moshe Rabbeinu was. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, so tell me, what's it all about? Basically, God. I mean, how come sometimes you get mad and sometimes you're happy? And I don't see any rhyme or reason for anything in it. In which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to him, V'chanoti et asher achon, you know. So he brings him to this Ma'aran. Now, that was the Ma'aran which the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim were exposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is the place where there's a brit even for people who are chote and haven't done yet full teshuva and so on and so forth. There's still Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, and it's a brit kruta. Anybody who says these Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim is mispalel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim is chalim. He brings him to that place. And that's where he stays over. B'nei Dvar Adonai Elav. And behold, God speaks to him now. He wakes up and he's in this spot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him and says, Vayomelo, Malacha Po Elio, what the heck are you doing here? This is not a rhetorical question. Exactly. So either that was his intent, or ask yourself. So what are you doing here? Because you understand what this here means. Here means this is the place where either you recognize the nature of Rachamim, and Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed V'Emet, exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu hears those words, so the Gemara says, he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hope you mean L'tzadikim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, I mean L'rishayim. L'rishayim, says Moshe, who needs Rishayim? But then later on, when we find that he's Mispalel, in which he says these words, so he says, Kasher Dibarta Lemor. You said, Afilu L'rishayim. Not only L'tzadikim. That's why he says the way you said it, not the way I said it. So this is the place where Moshe Rabbeinu himself came from a point of view in which he had first been demanding and finally came to recognize that this is no way to lead the world. That was the other part of Moshe. The difference between they're Dal Torin and they don't deserve to be saved. And why should I go to save Yisrael to the Hatzelo Itzal Tatamech? If you're going to do it, then damn it, do it right. And then and pull out Micha from inside the walls. So here is Eliyahu's big chance to say, I realize I'm wrong. And I'm gonna now start trying to help. Instead, he says, "Kano kineti l'Adonai Elohei Tzevaot. I am full now of zealous anger. Ki azvu britcha b'nei Yisrael. They have left your brit. Et mizbechotecha harasu. They destroyed your altars. Et neviecha argu becharav. Killed your neviim. V'yivater ani levadi. I alone am left. Vayevakshu et nafshi l'kachta. Now they want to kill me. They want to kill me. This is about you. I thought you just said, Kanoki neti l'Hashem l'kech tzvakot. What's the, they want to kill me? So, I mean, it's basically all about you. Says the Medrash, no. Eliyahu says, Ki azvu b'ritcha b'nei Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, did you repeat that? Azvu b'ritcha. Okay, so it's my brit? Is it your brit or it's my brit? So let me make the decisions, okay? All right, that mizbechotecha harasu. Okay, whose mizbech did you say it was? My Mizbeach, I'll decide. But they killed your Nevi'im. Who's Nevi'im? Your Nevi'im or my Nevi'im? So finally, Eliyahu is reduced to saying, well, it's my life, isn't it? They want to take my life too? Don't have a right to complain about that. But Enochinami, he was really being the Vakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't given any opening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, we're still playing this game. I'll tell you what. Get out. Save Yamalat Bahar Lifnei Adonai. You know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was over in front of Moshe? Well, I protected him. But you know, if it hadn't been Vesakoti et Kapar, he would have been dead. Why don't you go out now? I'm going to put a little show on for you. Vinei Adonai over. And now that the Shechina will pass, Ruach Gedolah V'Chazak, an immensely powerful wind, Mifarek Arim U'Mishaber Salim, powerful enough to actually break apart mountains, to take stone and turn them into pieces. And the Medrash points out there were only three occasions where we find Ruach Chazak being mentioned. One is Yonah, again, but that was very personal. It was surrounding that boat, the Ruach Chazak. We find by Eov, but that was the story of the house that was torn apart. It wasn't something that could go out to destroy the world. But here, this was a Ruach Gedolah V'Chazak. Well, that's like your Kanaut, Eliyahu. Lo Baruach Adonai. That's not where you're going to find God. I mean, it's impressive, you know, but it's not God. And after the Ruach, there'll be a Rash. So you'll think, okay, you know, you're going to, for sure, you're going to have now in this trembling and shaking and noise and earthquake, and that's got to be where God, no. Lo Barash Adonai. God doesn't live in the middle of big shows. V'achar ha-ra'ash eish. Tanchuma goes through that each one of these are arba machanes, different machanes of din. So the first one refers to the way in which a person is by olam hazeh. You know, everything is big noises. So the ruach gedolah, the chazak, that's olam hazeh, which is only a ruach, comes and it goes, just passes by very quickly. And then you have now the rash, which is the yom hamitah. Then you have the eish, which is the eish of Gehenam. And then you have the Yom HaDin HaGadol, which nobody opens their mouth. V'achar ha'esh kol d'mamad daka. And after that, you hear only the voice, the sound of silence. So that there is a very, very small sounds within which it's possible to be oimed on truth. And that's when you'll find the Gilui HaShechina. Sorry?
The mama.
The mama is of silence. Domim. So the sound of silence, there you will find. You remember the whole story in the Gemara where Precious was able to be aimed on. He says, you'll see, I know better than you when the melech will be over. And he uses this dogma to how it is that a melech is over. Yeah, they have the trumpets, you have the soldiers. But in the end, when the queen drives by, it's all very quiet. And so, so when Elio hears this call to Mama, he realizes that that's when the Shekhinah is over. He better protect himself because Meshach, if he would have looked, he would have been dead. Vayolat panav ba'adarto, he covers up his face in his own clothing. Vayetze ve'yamot petach ha'me'ara, v'inei elav kol. And this time a voice appears. It doesn't say, this time it just says a voice. It doesn't say whose voice. There it was the Dvar Hashem came to him. Here it's a voice he hears. So now what do you say, Elio? Malach apo Elio. Have we learned the lesson? The Medrash says he was given 3 hours to think this over. Have we learned the lesson? Vayomer, he repeats himself word for word. He's not giving in. Kano kineti ladonai lo hitzvaot ki azvu berit chabene Yisrael vet mizbechotecha harasu vet neviyecha orgu bechorev vivaterani levadi veyakshu et nafshi lekachta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you know, you don't seem to be able to give up on one approach to life. It's always the same words, the same ridiculous approach. There you were back as Pinchas, you're going along saying, Kano Kineti, over there it was for Gilui Arayot, and now it's for Brit Milah, or Avodas Kochavim, I don't know. You know what? I think we're going to teach you a little lesson. You know, you are going to be the one that's got to sit there for every Brit Milah that you claim that Yisrael no longer keeps the Brit. And you will be coming back to me to report on how many Brit Kodeshes you came to today so that we can get the statistics right. Because I like this business. Azvu et Britcha, I suppose you have the statistics. All right, well, what about coming in? And indeed, this is the basis, says the Medrash in Pirkei Reb Eliezer. This is the basis of the Takana, to have a special Kisei Shel Elio Anavi, and we call him Elio. Elio Malach HaBrit, and he has to be the one now that must admit that his kanaut is misplaced. And so, Vayomer Adonai Elav, so God tells him, all right, you're fired, basically. This is it. I've given you every possible chance, but no easy way out. You're not going to die. You're not going to go to sleep. You've got a last will and testament to hand over. And this is what I'm giving you as the last things for you to do. Leich shuv ledarkecha. You want to go on your path? Okay, go on your path. So we'll go out to Damascus. So go midbara Damascus. And Damascus was a place where they had 365 different homes of Avodah Zarah, different temples for Avodah Zarah. I want you to go there. So when Elio spoke Lashon Hara, B'nai Yisrael, Sakadosh Baruch Hu, you know, how about we start looking at maybe some of the cities around here before you start focusing on Shomron? They got 365 temples to Avodah Zarah, that they're the only people you have to talk about. Go out to Midbar Damascus. Again, these are all between the line, but the important ideas. Are you want to be Mekaneh? Very good. Go to Damascus. Ubata umashacht et Chazael lemelech al Aram. Chazael, the king of Aram, will end up being the one that will take my revenge against Bnei Yisrael. Let you be the one. You make him king. Go ahead. Go to the Mashiach and Chazael from me. And then, you know what you can do? Go ahead and find Yehu ben Nimshi, who will murder the entire house that you want to destroy of Acha. Fine. You make him king on Yisrael. Timshach lemelech Yisrael. And then you're fired. That Elisha ben Shaphat miyavela mechula, miyavela mechola, timshach lenavit tachtecha. Go appoint the guy who's going to be taking your place, because I'm not interested in you anymore. As Rashi puts it, efshi benivuatecha, I'm not interested in having you as my navi. Miyachashatamalamit kategori albana, you refuse to accept that you got to give up this approach of kanokinati. We don't need you. Ve'ayaha nimlat michirif chazael yamit yehu. Whoever manages to escape from the sword of Chazael, Yehu will get him. And your student, the one who takes your place, whoever manages to escape Yehu, will be killed by Elisha. And all that will be left, because of your great kin'ah, 7,000 people. Only those who never bow down to the Baal and every mouth that never kissed him. And indeed the Medrash assumes that these are the remnants of the 300 that were tested way back in Shoftim. The ones who knew how to lick the water out of their hands, who apparently were not used to bending down and to lying down. Those are the ones who have now these 7,000 descendants. And this is the end of Elisha in our time, of Elio in our times. Vayelech misham, and indeed, he leaves that place. Vayimtzat Elisha ben Shaphat. Now this is the only thing that he did. The other things, he never does. Yehu is in the end nimshach through Elisha's own Bnei HaNeviim, who was Yonah. But of course, Yonah is Ben Amittai. Amittai is the Navi who's called Emet, which is Elio, who speaks in the same signon, as we already said, who was drawn back from the days of the Yonah and the Orev at the time of the 40 days of the Mabul, all of which are Marumas here. As far as the idea of Chazael was Elio, Chazael was Elisha. So obviously what this means is that Eliyahu is seen as the beginning of a new tkufa, in which Neviut plays a changed role in Yisrael. We never find very much about Neviut until Elio. Remember, Elio has changed everything. He's changed, first of all, our daily tefillot. He's the one who's taught us the nature of Techiyat Amitim. And now he changes the function of Neviut in Yisrael and creates an entirely different way of relating to Neviut, which we're going to have to understand as we examine Elisha. But let's think about what it means when Chazal set up B'Navi Otzi Hashem et Yisrael mi Mitzrayim u'B'Navi Nishmar. What does that mean? He's failed in his approach, and yet he's the Malach HaBrit. He's failed in his approach, but he's the one, Hineni Shaleach Lechem et Eliyah HaNavi. He's failed in his approach, and yet we talk about the Yeshiv Lev Avot El Banim, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's told to take B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, says Shlach Na B'Yad Tishlach, meaning send it in the one that ultimately you're going to be Shaleach at the end of the entire process of Galut Geula, which is Hineni Shaleach Lachem Et Eliyahu Navi, and this is failure. So what's the B'Navi Nishmar? So what's happened here is a remarkable thing. The synthesis that we thought occurred never occurred. It was Eliyahu Navi's mistake, in which he was given now the energy to be able to run in front of Achav. And he thought, well, gosh, we finally now have joined the elements that were lost to Malchut, brought them back in, allowed Achav now to be the one who spearheads this new movement to destroy the V'yei HaBaal, to be able to bring Israel back, and now the Malchut is real. He was wrong. So it was all just a trick. It was all just a joke. Ubeyadon nishmar. Let's think about what nishmar means. Nishmar never means the immediate access to it. Nishmar, by definition, means to wait, right? Eliyahu Hanavi was shamar li ala petach. It means he waited for me to finish praying. So the idea of a Navi Nishmar means the same thing Shmira means when it comes to mitzvot. Chazal tell us Shmira when it comes to mitzvot has to do with an attitude. It has nothing to do with doing mitzvot. Doing mitzvot is asiyat mitzvot. Shmirat mitzvot does not mean observe mitzvot. It means exact opposite. It's the idiots who think you observe mitzvot. You never observe mitzvot. If you're an observer, you might as well be a reformed Jew. You're an observer. It's the most idiotic thing. How do you observe mitzvot from the outside? The point of Shmirah is exactly what the President of the United States swears to when he takes the oath of the Constitution, to preserve, to protect. He's committing his life that this is the most important thing to him, the Constitution of the United States. This is the most important thing. This is Shmirah, which means that the function of Eliyahu is an incredible function. He represents not only the tefillah of Tfilat HaMetim and the reality of what we say in that tefillah. It's only a gilui of Midat HaDin, which we call Givurot in that bracha, the Givurot Geshamim that he was active in. But we say over here, Mikayen Emunato Lishenei Afar. So that means that we recognize that the entire process of Geula, Kasher Nishbati L'Avraham L'Yitzchak L'Yaakov, and not only to Avraham, Yitzchak V'Yaakov, but to everyone who has lived and has been dedicated in his life to that Brit and now lies sleeping in the earth. That, Mikayem Emunato, we only come to understand through Eliyahu Hanavi. And therefore it's Eliyahu Hanavi that is the one who is Zocha to be Mevaser, the Geula Atidah. So what this means is that Shmirah, the nature of Shmirah, is that we have accepted the dualism that was at the beginning of this entire process. There is, in fact, a dualism. There's two completely different paths that we lead simultaneously. One is the path of Pesel Micha. One is the path in which we accept the fact that there is a long period of growing up, and that even the Shmirah of the Brit of Avram Avinu is gradated. Imach, Hashecha, Gidola, Nofelet, you could talk about Mitzrayim, Bavel, Modai, Poras, Ishmael, Edom, whatever you want to break it up into. It's gradations. And it takes thousands of years until Bnei Yisrael becomes sufficiently sophisticated to be able to deal with the real issues. Otherwise, they're a bunch of idiots like any religion on earth. It's all stupid. And that's what Eliyahu was saying. This is stupid. It didn't accomplish anything. What is miracles, Mishigas? So we're still playing these little games with trinkets and pretty buildings, and this is what it's all about? This is what mitzvot are about? I say, this is all garbage. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're absolutely right. Somebody's got to remember that. There needs to be some level at which we access what is ultimately meant to be true, but it certainly is not for the man in the street. So that means that we've accepted, at this point, another few centuries of Achav-type malchut, Ad Golota Aret, which relates directly to Pesel Micha, in which you're ready to take the next step. That next step was an immense next step. Remember how unbelievable the next step was. The next step after Golota Aret, and after Yehuda finally has Golota Aret, we get to the Chashecha, after the Ema and the Chashecha, we end up with a complete inversion of all these ideas. There's no longer any miracles. It's Sof Kol HaNisim. We no longer have pretty buildings that are magical. There's no magic. And instead we have serious an undertaking to learn and to understand and the reacceptance of Maimed Har Sinai, a rejection of the whole approach of Yerovan and Rechavan, in which originally said, you know what, you're right, we don't want this, it's too much. So that was the Kafalem Har Chagigit. The next step was to accept the burden of what it takes to grow up. So the first stage is childhood. And second, we saw that the Medrash specifically compares Bnei Yisrael at the time of the Shoftim to little children. And this period is the adolescence. Adolescence is full of garbage. It's even worse than childhood. Because the point of adolescence is to be a rebel without a cause. You don't even know what you're rebelling against. You don't know yourself. So this period is a period of adolescence. What are we going to do, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eliyahu? So we're going to make teenagers grow up. We're going to make them understand life. We're not going to do that. We're going to wait until they grow up. So the waiting until they grow up. Nonetheless, there needs to be some sense of where is the reality. You're the one. B'navi nishmar. There needs to be somebody. And that's why during the course of all of the Dorot, the vision of somebody who was Mekabel Torah from Achia Shilon. And every time you read a Gemara and you don't know, your Merames, Tishbi, he'll take care of it. So we talk about the Teiku. You have problems. There's someone still around that you can have access to, that's always accessible. This is true in every individual human life. We lead split lives. We really do. We have moments of sanity in which we have a clear sense of where we came from, what we're going towards, what our history is, and what life is all about. But the minute you get back, exactly what happens with these Zevil and Achav. It's a great, Hashem Elokim, wonderful. You know, now I get back home, and I got to deal with the issues in the house. You know, so you talk to Zevil. So it's all over. So Zevil sends a message, okay, you want the Zevil? I'll give it to you, buddy. 24 hours. That's what it's for. All the greatest itorut. Nothing is worthless. But indeed, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a guy like you is not the guy I need right now. I need somebody who can work with the situation, not somebody who's going to tell me what perfection is. I know what perfection is, okay? Thank you very much. If you think you could get these people to perfection, forget it. Goodbye. Let's have another boy in place. And indeed, when Elisha comes to take his place, Elisha recognizes that he's got a much more difficult job than Eliyahu does. And therefore he tells Eliyahu, look, I need double what you got. Because it's easy to go around shouting at everybody and telling everybody we need to fix the whole world and nothing's going to come of that. And I need to be in there. Well, I'm not going to be able to do it the way you did with you. The moment that you saw how bad things are, you said, I want to die. I can't handle it. And I got to handle it. So I better be more than you are. It's an amazing story, the whole story. So we see over here now is the response to the linking of Eliyahu to a different way of viewing life and the acceptance of the breakdown of the personality within Yisrael as a whole and with every human being within Yisrael. There's a tremendous breakdown, which every once in a while, we get this as the Rambam puts it, you get this lightning strike. So it's like you're walking around in the dark and you get a lightning strike and all of a sudden you see things, but it's for a split second. Now you got to navigate in the dark based on the memory of what you thought you saw. But you only see it like that and then it's gone. It's like a wink. Okay, that's what it's like leading a human life without having any ongoing clarity. And that's what the whole point is. We know, and it's because of this, by the way, that when we read these stories, we think they're ridiculous. When we read Shoftim, it sounds insane to us. These people are crazy. I mean, how could you be so historically unaware? How could you be so primitive as to be involved in this utter nonsense? That is an amazing thing. You understand what that implies? It implies that in the course of only a few thousand years, which is really very short, you think about it. I mean, if you can know somebody who's 100 years old who knew somebody who was 100 years old. So your own life stretches almost in a personal way over centuries. What's a couple thousand years? It's nothing, really. What's amazing is our vision of history is so immediate that the Goyim, they look at it all, it's like archaeology. But to us, it's, what are you, stupid? We know these people, we understand how they think, but it's like, we live this. This is not history. It's not a study, it's what we are. So in a few thousand years, we have developed so much, despite the fact that we're such idiots, that in the way in which we relate to the universe, we put these people to shame. That's unbelievable. We do nothing, and it's just like a latent, gradual development of the human psyche. The human psyche, in which you start off at a point that is so far beyond where people once started off, that you already begin where people had to struggle for 100 years to be able to get to the place where a 10-year-old is today, in terms of the assumptions about the nature of life, the awareness of the breadth of the meaning of life, the place of humanity within the universe. It's absolutely astounding. At the time of the Rambam, nobody knew calculus. And the Rambam considered the background in mathematics to be basic. He said, if you don't have that background, don't read this book. I'm not even talking to you. Every child knows more mathematics than the Rambam. And it's nothing. I mean, you don't even graduate high school without knowing more than the Rambam. That's like crazy. She said, but there's a detachment. That's true. Obviously, the lathe is less, not more. So there is a yurida in terms of the humanity, the willingness to struggle, the ability to stand up for things and so on, a bunch of little children in terms of that. That's true. Because there's that great contradiction in which the great leveler is the internet, and yet the great expander is the internet. But it drives towards a generic non-humanity in which everybody's essentially the same, all opinions are the same. There's no commitment and no involvement. So we can see where this is going. 300-400 years ago when you read this, what is this all about? Like some preservation? We need a guy to preserve it. What does Ubanavi Nishmar mean? How does that become part of the development? To us, it's obvious how this becomes part of the development. We have seen exactly what this does. Things filter down. And the more they filter down, the more rapidly they filter down. The more rapidly they filter down, the more broadly they filter down. Until it's gotten to the point where if you want to hide from humanity, you can no longer hide. That's how powerful it is. There's no avoiding it. So that a child born into your times is not the same type of human being that a child was 100 years ago. Literally, not the same type of human being. Right? I mean, now you have, you know, little children, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, that are thinking in terms of their own humanity, their own independence, their own ability to do things in ways that no adult could have thought of until, you know, very, very recently. So this is Eliyahu's function. We've watched how that function happens. We've watched how he was meant to learn that there needs to be an interrelationship between those two functions. He was brought face to face with the exact same place that Moshe Rabbeinu, who had acceded and understood the difference between the Nasa v'nishma of Har Sinai and the ultimate need for Kimu v'kibla Yehudim, and he was unable to take the bait. And in a sense, wasn't supposed to take the bait, because it's not really possible to maintain two completely different visions until the time comes. And the time comes only where Hineni Sholeach Lechem. And you can see the time coming. In other words, you could see for the first time that it's possible for people to hear what Eliyahu is saying and actually respond. The very next pasuk shows us what level of commitment and what demands it makes on a human being to be with Eliyahu. Because he was told to get somebody to take your place. And you'll notice, by the way, that the Pasuk uses the word Mishicha three times. What do you mean Mishicha? Yeah, Mosheach Talmud. Just to be Mosheach Elisha. What does that mean? Take the Shem and the Mishka, pour it on his head? You know, Mosheach a Melech on the Goyim? What do you mean be Mosheach Chazael? What does that have to do with it? So we're going out of our way to say that, no, this is indeed the creation of something brand new. It's true Mishicha. Now, obviously, in a metaphorical sense, but in the same way that we were sent to Novi to literally be Moshiach, so that Achia Shiloni was Moshiach Yerabam, you're going to be starting something new. And look how he does this, and look what it demands. So there he is, and he finds now Elisha ben Shaphat. Now, this Elisha ben Shaphat is a multimillionaire. He's living in a home, V'hu Choresh, Shneim Asar L'tzimadim Lefanav. This guy has got a massive ranch. He's got 12 tractors that are all going in front of him. He's got all of his men working for him. He's behind, you understand, in the 12th tractor. And he's looking over this whole thing, and, you know, the air-conditioned thing and the music playing in the background. He's got a nice life. This is 21st century agriculture. And it's bringing this out because you need to understand where this man comes from. This is not like a small-time guy. Vayavor Eliyahu elav, Eliyahu passes by him, vayashlech adarto elav, and throws him his crummy, he went out of his way to look like an absolute nut, Eliyahu, we're going to see this later. He's a hairy guy with this big beard, long hair, no, and it says so beferish. Later on, what did he look like? Who was this guy? And they just, oh my God, the only one who looks like that is that madman. So he's walking around, I mean, he looks literally like a Viking. He's walking around with this big azor made out of leather. A real primitive, walking around now, and he's got this hairy out there at Seyar. I mean, who wears hair, for God's sake? Give me some beautiful, smooth cashmere and some silk. I mean, a hairy coat. What is this, Hagrid? Who is he? I mean, it's, exactly. Guy's a nut of some kind, and he's showing off his primitivity. So he takes this thing, and he throws it onto Elisha on his tractor. That's all he does. Doesn't say a word to him. Vayazov et habakar, he jumps out of the tractor. Vayorot acharei Eliyahu, he's chasing after Eliyahu. This is what I've been waiting for my whole life. I leave it all behind. I have no interest in anything. Forget about it. Then he says, but could I just kiss mom and dad goodbye? I'm off, but Eshkana Lavi Olimi Velchacharech, I want to kiss my father and my mother and say goodbye to them. I'll never see them again. And if I follow you, that's the end of my normal life. Vayomelo, so Eliyahu says to him, you want to be part of kissing daddy and mommy? Go back home. Lech shuv. Me'asiti lecha. Me'asiti lecha. Did I say anything to you? Did I do anything to you? I'm asking something of you. You come chasing after me and then you say, I want to go back to mommy and daddy. Go back home. I don't need people like that. So in other words, what you're looking at over here is the clear-cut recognition this guy comes from a different planet. If you're going to go now and join him up, you're going to be taking off in a spacecraft and go by, you're never going to be seeing the Earth again. This is really what Ovadia said. It was one of his Talmidim. You know, I'm going to turn around, I'll go to Acham, I'll say you're there, and you're going to disappear. One of your crazies flying saucers, I don't know where you go to. You go, Basher Telech. This is crazy. Now you're showing yourself suddenly part of this world. We know you're not part of this world. So, Vayoshov me'acharav, he turns around, vayikach et tzemet ha'bakar. So now he's got all of these animals, you understand. What he does is he makes a party. I'm kissing this all goodbye. So he takes his jaguar, he takes his tractors, makes a big party, burns the whole thing up. The way the Medrash puts it, salts the earth, for all intents and purposes. This life, my swimming pools, my jaguar, it's all behind me. And he actually shechts navi'izbacheu. He slaughters the cows to make steaks. B'chle habakar bishlam habasana. Bishlam habasar is very strange. Bishlam habasar. Should say b'chle habakar. He uses now the wood to be mevashel the basar. So say chazal. Well, you know, the same thing happens on the mizbeach. The mizbeach burns, not the wood burns, the mizbeach burns the wood. This went on for 100 years now. Same thing happened over here. The basar was so hot from this man's emotions, it burnt the clay up. The simple meaning, of course, is that he was bishlam for the people that he was making the party for. He did a barbecue. Vayitain la'am vayochelo, and he gives it to all of his men. Says, goodbye, I'm off. Take good care of mommy and daddy. Vayokom vayelech acharei Eliyahu, and he gets up and he follows Eliyahu vayisharatehu and serves him. So this is put in here in order that we should understand the difference between the vision of Eliyahu as a man that's part of society and what it said to him. I mean, this obviously he was doing this to someone who was so responsive that the guy was going nuts. But why Bedavka? It's beautiful, Medrash. Why Bedavka while he was in the tractor? Says the Medrash, this teaches you that he was only zoche to become a Navi, a Talmud of Eliyahu, because of the fact that he did honest work. So even though he's this tremendous spiritual seeker, and there obviously he was on a madrega where he could respond like that to Eliyahu, this must have been his dream forever, as if only I could find someone that I could respond to. And all Eliyahu does is show him that I care enough about you to send you my coat to protect you, take you under my wing. It's not even a kiss. It's a smelly coat. And that was enough for him. And he's kissing it all goodbye. But that means that there's a clear recognition that we're living on two different planets. And that, of course, is our vision b'chlol of Eliyahu. You know, somebody is zochet to Gilui Eliyahu. He's like, he's entering a different planet. It's a different world. So this guy is outside of time, outside of space-time as we know it. And in order for Yisrael to be able to have leadership by Eliyahu, you got to be crazy. You got to leave everything behind. Who's going to leave everything behind? The way that we live, the way that we love, is Acha, not Eliyahu, remarkably. So here we find ourselves today in a far more sophisticated form, in exactly the same situation. And therefore, when we come to identify our own sense of self on the Seder night, we actually invite in Eliyahu for that moment, right? There's this kosher Eliyahu and this whole big deal, because we recognize that, look, this is all a process. And that ultimately our identities need to attach themselves to Geula Atida, to a fifth cup. And we understand that it's part of the process. It's the process of Geula, where it's the Seder itself is a process. We're meant to live through the process of Geula, not to necessarily achieve its very end. But there's this vision, you know, Ashata Avde, Shana Ba'ab Yerushalayim, all of that discussion is recognizing the way in which there are indeed no shortcuts. This is something that's very difficult for people to accept. You know, you have these crazy guys, you know, bring us Mashiach today, and, you know, or Na Nachman, or all types of madness that is meant to shortcut these difficult, realistic paths that cannot be shortcut. And that the commitment to it, commitment to the process, is what remains to us now. And we'll see that what Eliyahu does through Elisha is change the whole matzav of the Vi'ut and basically deal with his generation, strangely enough, the way Mordechai Yehudi deals with him. He needs to create religious feeling, which he's never willing to do himself. But Elisha now is put into his position.